You know, we're working on some new entrance music for me. Is that a little much, you think? A little much? A little much? The Hallelujah chorus from the Messiah, you think that's too much? That song actually means something and will mean something to you today as we talk. That's why we used it, besides just entrance music. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Psalm 84:11. We're continuing our series on 2020 Vision, and we're talking about getting warmer as you do. Once again, it goes without saying, I'm thrilled to see you guys on a holiday weekend. We're talking about the blessings of God, and just so you guys are aware, and I think a lot of you know this, and we've already talked this morning, and you guys have been so good to ask, we've had an incredibly long night, and so some of us are kind of punchy, which is good, but you also need to know, and again, I think I'm tired, because I almost cried a minute ago when I thought about this, but this morning, before you guys got here, some of the guys that are very close to us as ministries that are in this area, and we are not rivals, although we play like it a lot, but we're all friends. And so the pastor of the Last Baptist Church on 434, which is also known as First Baptist Longwood, came by here with his children this morning, prayed with us. Good guy. The pastor from for Central Baptist in Sanford has called me this morning, offering anything that he could give me that would make this day work and anything we need in the days ahead. And so we have a great relationship with these guys, and I have a very good relationship with these brothers who are pastoring churches in the area. We are very competitive by nature. All of us are, and you get us in the room and you wouldn't think we're friends, but we really are. And so let's pray. God, you are good to us, and you bless us. And it is in the midst of living life and trying to be who you created us to be that we discover some of the greatest gifts that you give us, the gift of one another, the gift of family, the gift of friends, and the gift that you give us as we get together to worship. And so, God, I thank you for that. And I am thankful that we are able to worship here in this place this morning in this hour. A few hours ago, we weren't sure we could do that. And so, God, you are a God who is not only in control, but nothing surprises you. And so the events of this past night did not catch you off guard. You're very much aware of the things that need to happen in the days ahead. For us, we're making it up as we go, but you never are. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just give to us your wisdom and your guidance. And we thank you again for your blessing, because you have blessed us. And so now we come to a moment where we are going to worship in your word and think about living a blessed life and what that might mean. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 84:11 is where we continue our series this morning as we talk about what it means to live blessed. And here's what I have shared with you as we kind of moved into the series. You were created by God to have life abundant. We talked about that the very first week. Abundant life has a lot to do with the blessing that God has for you. And it is life to the nth degree. It is a God-breathed life. It's not an accident that he says that. Jesus is the one that says that. And so we are talking about a couple of things, but one of the things we're doing in this particular series is we're talking about how we can live that life that we're supposed to live. God intends for us to be blessed. And I ask you the question, as we started the series, how do you see your life? Do you see your life as a set of just cataclysmic events and mistakes that just seem to keep piling up on you? Or are you able to look at your life and see that God is blessing you and has a plan for you in the midst of it? If you get biblical and get serious about this, you begin to discover that God has created you to live a life that is blessed. Now, that blessing is not that name it, claim it, frame it theology that you hear very often. We've talked about that. Jesus is the one that let us know that that's not the way it's going to work. He said there was going to be trouble, and to take heart, he's overcome the world. But we've talked about the fact that God's blessing is God is in us, he's with us, and he is for us. And if that is what's happening in your life on a regular basis, you're blessed. And so learning to see your life as being blessed and learning to grab that life and live that life is very important. And so you need to see your life that way so you can see God as God really is, so that you can become who you were created to be. And we've discovered already, and we're going to talk about that a lot more in our next series, that not only are you blessed, but you're blessed to bless. And so this is a way that we've started out the year, looking at your life with a 2020 clear vision of who God has created you to be. And we're also taking a clear look at the life and the vision that God has for us as a ministry in the days ahead, and what's going to happen in the days ahead, and how we're going to be doing some things to expand in the days ahead. And so all of this kind of ties together. And so let me read to you the verse we're going to break apart this morning for you and share with you a couple of thoughts and even explain the Hallelujah Chorus to you by the time we're done. It says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." We started with this principle, and this principle still applies. This verse reminds us of that. God blesses obedience. It's God. That's his default. God blesses us. In spite of ourselves, around ourselves, God blesses us. We certainly haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. We are blessed because God loves us, and he's just crazy about us, and he just likes to bless us. And I'm grateful for that. And so should you. And as you look around, it takes a few moments sometimes to realign your focus and see it correctly. We've talked about that as well. But we get to make a choice as to how we're going to live life and how we're going to see life. And that's where it falls back on you. Are you seeing what God's doing? Back in the days, long back in the days, before the days of video games and Candy Crush, we used to play games that had nothing to do with technology. Some of you played this game. You played it. It's not a new game to you. In some circles, it was called Hide the Thimble. But it's the kind of game where you have an object and you hide it. Someone goes out of the room, you hide the object. And their job is to find it. But the only clues that are given is when they're wandering around the room looking is if they're cold, you go cold, 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 colder, 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 colder. Hot, hot, warmer, 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 getting warmer, getting warmer, getting hotter, 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 hotter. Oh, you're burning hot, you're burning, your arm's on fire, come on, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot. And you find the object, right? It's a fun game, and some of you have played that recently. Some of you do it with your car keys every morning. It is, but it's a game where it has a lot to do with your spiritual journey and has a lot to do with your walk, because you make the choice to be obedient. Your choice. And you say, well, it's not always easy to be obedient. Are you looking to be obedient? I mean, are you looking for God? Because when you start choosing to be obedient, when you start taking a close look for God, guess what? You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. And before you know it, you'll be on fire. Now, if you choose not to be obedient or you choose to ignore God, guess what? Colder. 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 Freezing. Arctic freezing. Slurpee machine freezing. I mean, you're cold. And you get to decide what you're going to be. And this is a passage that reminds us of why we can be warmer and why we don't have to be cold when it comes to those things of God. And the warmer we are and the hotter we get for God, the more we're going to discover how he blesses us. And you're going to see them clearly. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You make a living by what we make, but we make a life by what we give. And sometimes in the world that we live in, we've got that all upside down. And our priorities are all out of whack. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us, as we go back to the book of Genesis, that the very first promise that's made, as God begins to move and begins to work, he says to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." In other words, he made Abraham great. He blessed Abraham for one reason and one reason alone, so he could bless others. I've got news for you. That's exactly what he does for you. See, sometimes we become blessing hoarders. And we just think, well, God is just so good to me. And then we could get into this kind of this stupor where we think, well, God just must love me better than everybody else. And then we think, well, he's blessed me, and I never have to do anything with his blessings. I just need more and more and more and more and more. And we start hoarding the blessings of God, and only to discover that they can become a curse because we're not obedient with them. And so in your life, you're called to be obedient, and you're called to live blessed so that you can bless others. And so we've been using the phrase blessed to bless, or be to be, which is actually the title of the next series that we're going to look at when we're done here. Beethoven, some of you have heard of him, once said about George Frederick Handel this line. It's the only person he ever said this about. To him, I bow a knee. Beethoven, when he thought about Handel, said, he is so great, I will kneel in front of him. That's how great he is. Handel wrote 42 operas and over 120 cantatas. If you're a music fan, you will know that he ranks as one of history's greatest composers. But what you may not know about him is that he hit a very low point in his life. At age 56, he was deeply, darkly depressed and badly in debt. To make matters worse, the composer had suffered a stroke, and he lost the use of his right hand. And so he was not able to write as he used to. He wasn't able to conduct as he had in the past. His right hand greatly diminished his ability to do what he did. He was struggling at the time, in a changing age, to stay musically relevant. Although he was renowned for who he was, because of his health, because of the depression, because of the situation in life, things seemed to be moving past him, which was one of the things that depressed him. And so while he was trying to be musically relevant, it's kind of ironic because he was about to score one of the most iconic pieces of music in all of human history. It started on August 22nd, 1741. And George Frederick Handel locked himself in a room, and for the next 3 weeks he began to compose. In fact, he barely came out of the room, took his meals in that room, and according to reports, most of them were eaten in that chair where he sat and wrote and spread out music in front of him. 21 days later, to the day, he emerged with a 259-page masterpiece called The Messiah. Now, you heard the Hallelujah chorus to The Messiah as I came up to teach, and so you'll get used to that in the days ahead. And so The Messiah, then, is one of those pieces of music, and there's a lot of music that's written over the course of a lifetime, but that's one of the pieces of music that endures. If you've heard it, you've listened to it, and sometimes it's not, you know, it's not your thing, but the opening act points to the coming of the Messiah. The middle act is Handel's commentary on the Passion of Christ. The last act of the musical celebrates the risen Savior who shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And at the end of the musical, he inked three letters, SDG, Solo Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory! Exclamation point. And that's the backstory of how we have that great piece of music. Many of you are familiar with that. So let me tell you something you don't know about that. The Messiah debuted on an Easter Sunday as an Easter offering in the Great Music Hall in Dublin, Ireland on April 13th, 1742. Remember that year, 1742. That's a long time ago. The music mesmerized the listeners. They were enthralled with it. They were moved by it. But it did much more than that because it was not just a concert, it was a benefit concert. The inaugural performance raised the equivalent of, and remember this is 1742, of $86,000. That was the value then. Who knows if you ballooned it out today what that would be worth. In this benefit concert that was given, and that money was used to free 142 men from debtor's prison. So they took that money, that music blessed the people that heard it that day, the money they raised blessed the families and covered their debts, and 142 men walked out of prison free because of the musical The Messiah. But there's more. Because this piece of music was destined to become one of the most well-known and memorable pieces of music and most famous pieces of music in all of human history. And so when Handel died, he took this piece of music that had been performed time and time again, it continues to be performed today, but he left in his will an original score in his handwriting of The Messiah to the Foundling Hospital. Now think about that for a minute. If you've been with us in this series, I'll say that again. He left the proceeds of that, he left a copy of that handwritten musical to the Foundling Hospital. That doesn't mean anything to you yet. Let me do this. Remember last week we talked about the fact that the umbrella of God is kind of like blessing. Doesn't mean you won't get wet. Doesn't mean you don't have to face storms. It means you get to go under through the storms. That God has put something over you to take care of that. Remember I told you the story about a man, the first Londoner, first male ever to carry an umbrella by the name of James Hanway? Remember where he was? He was the governor of the Foundling Hospital. And he served as the governor of that hospital from 1758 to 1772. They sold that original piece of music that Handel had written and given to the hospital. And that money was used to fund the ministry, the Matthew 25 ministry, where they took care of the homeless, they fed the hungry, and they cared for the sick. He used the money from the Messiah years later to continue to bless people and continue to do what God had called him to do because he lived his life trying to bless others so they might live under the blessing of God. So if you think about it, Handel used his God-given talent and his time to make a difference in the world. He blessed God by writing music for his glory, and that music was then used to bless the lives of others who would hear it in the days ahead, but then that blessing also went beyond that and blessed others in a different way because it went to find ways to meet the needs of others. Generosity, the goodness, bless to bless. That's the story of the Messiah. The musical. And it reminds us again how when we do what we do, although we're not sure when we're doing it what's going to happen, if we're striving to be obedient, God can take it and he can blow it up and he can make amazing things happen and will bless it beyond your ability to even conceive it if you're willing to be faithful and obedient. And you have to do your part. And so I come back to the question I asked earlier, how bad do you want it? And do you want to heat it up a little bit? Passage that we read, one verse, reminds us of why that can happen so easily. And if you have your worship flyer, you can see it. The outline's first there. The first thing I want you to see is that you need to start warming up. Because the first part of the verse says this, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And the passage reminds us of how much we need help. If you don't know this, you can't survive without the sun. The sun is a necessity for life for you. Got to have it. I know we have to wear sunscreen outside, but we need the sun. But then also it reminds us that we need protection from those things that might seek to harm us. And so God, not only is God the sun, source of life, but he also is a shield. And the psalmist begins this psalm, this particular part of the psalm, the section of the psalm, reminds us that that is what God does, and God does so much more. If you're ever going to get warmed up and really start living your life blessed, and living the life that you were created to live, you've got to start getting closer to God. You have to do it. Handel traded 21 days of life in a very dark time for the Messiah. But he also traded in years of learning and perfecting the craft of composing music. And all of that investment of time and energy and experience has gone into a piece of music that has blessed people, blessed hospitals, blessed others throughout the ages. The reason is simple, because Handel was not a musician who followed Christ. Handel was a follower of Christ who made music. See, before he was a musician who followed Jesus, he was a follower of Jesus who decided to do what he did for him. And so he made music to his glory. See, a lot of times we define ourselves by what we do and we think that's the big deal. So let me help you define yourself, because if you're ever going to get hot and live for God, here's how you have to define yourself. If you've made the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus, you've accepted who Jesus is and what he's done. You believe that he went to the cross and he died for you and he died for the forgiveness of your sins so that you might have a life abundant, the life that he created you to live. Then guess what? You then in that moment said, it is all about Jesus and not about you. You became a follower of Christ. Now, anything else that you do happens because you're a follower of Christ first, and everything else you do is now for his glory. And if you get that wonky and backwards and upside down, hear me when I tell you, you're getting colder. You're getting colder. And we come at it so badly in our culture sometimes because we want to define ourselves by the jobs that we do or the roles that we fill or those places that we go. And at the end of the day, if you've made that decision to follow Jesus, here's how you define yourself. You're a follower of Christ. Handel was a follower of Christ who made music for the glory of God. He wasn't a musician who just followed Christ. He got it in the right order. We get in trouble because we often get our lives upside down in the wrong order. It starts with Jesus. And if it doesn't, you're getting colder. But if it starts with Jesus, you've just taken the first step to getting a little bit warmer. Why do we know that we do that? You say, Jeff, you're just splitting hairs. You're just being silly. This doesn't matter. No, I'll quote Jesus. That tends to end most debates in churches. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. No gray area there. We're going to seek God first. We're going to seek his kingdom first. And then he goes, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, everything else happens after you decide to seek the kingdom. That means you're warming up. You make the decision today. You make the decision yesterday. You'll make the decision tomorrow. What were you going to do? Are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and let everything else flow from that? And let him just add on to that? Or are you going to try to do other things and then add the God thing as something else extra? That means for some of you in the room, you get a day off school tomorrow, but when you go back to school the following day, guess what you are? You're a follower of Christ, who also is a student, doing it for the glory of God. If you're an athlete and you play a sport, you're a follower of Christ, and you're playing a sport to the glory of God. Rick Morris, you're climbing on a roof, you're going to follow Christ, and you're going to do roofs for the glory of God, and it's a ministry, and I know it is for Rick. That's why I picked on him. And my roof's not even leaking right now, which is awesome. So that's awesome, man. We're good. Yeah, okay. All right. But remember this day when it is. Well, all right. But so whatever it is you do, you start as a follower first. And then you do what you do for his glory. And I know that sounds simple on a Sunday morning, but that's a lot harder on a Monday morning. That's a lot harder in the heat of whatever it is that we're trying to do. That's a lot harder when we're surrounded by other folks who don't share the same priorities. That's a lot harder to do than it sounds like because it's not everyone else's default. But if you want to live the blessed life that God has created you to live and you are a follower of Christ, you cash it in because how else was it explained? Take up your cross daily and follow me. That's it. You got to die. You die to self. You live for him. Seek him. He'll fill in the gaps. You do that, you're getting warmer. You say, well, if I do all that, am I not hot yet? Not yet. Because you have to do it over and over and over again with a consistency. God blesses you, and he blesses obedience, and you're called to bless others. The second thing I want you to see is that not only can you warm up, but then you can get warmer. Because when the Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, it goes on to say in the next phrase, the Lord bestows favor and honor. In other words, he says it. You do this, I'm going to fill this role in your life, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bestow favor and honor. Now, this is just me pondering, so for the next little segment, if you don't agree with me, that's perfectly okay. I'll give you a pass. But do you think that it is possible? Just possible. That the success of the Messiah had something to do with the fact that when from the very outset it was displayed in public to benefit others? Do you think that maybe God just blessed it just a little bit more because of the way that it was presented, and all of a sudden that money was going to be used to free people from prison, that was going to take care of kids and orphans and the homeless, and was going to feed the hungry? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, God decided, you know what, I'm just going to load up just a little bit more on this because you've decided not to monetize this, but you've decided to actually give away the proceeds of this and bless others with it. Do you just think it could happen? No, I got it. Some of you are going to say, well, you know what, correlation doesn't equal causation. I understand that. That's a logical fallacy. Some will say it's just luck. I said that really fast, so it just fly past. A lot of people, they'll think about it later. Some people will say it's just luck. But I opened up an umbrella inside a building last week and told you I don't believe in luck. I believe in blessing. Wait a minute, you weren't here when the car hit that building. It happened in the middle of the night. There weren't kids from Class Athlete running around playing in the parking lot when this guy comes crashing through the parking lot out of control at a speed so fast that his car went airborne and flew under our portico. You know, on most days, we have 40 kids playing in that parking lot right where that guy was driving. They weren't here. Not one of our kids was running around this building. Not one of you were coming out. Not one of your cars was out there. See, in the midst of it all, as nasty as that is, you're sitting in an air-conditioned room and you could flush a toilet this morning. And I promise you, at 1:30 this morning, that was not certain. And as a result of working through the night to make sure those things could happen, God is taking good care of us. It's just a building. It's just blocked. It's okay. If in this section you hear a crack, let us know. And then wait for us all to get out. But you know what? It could have been much worse. But God was in the midst of taking care of us. See, I have a deep theological conviction that you could argue with all day, but you'll never sway me from this. God knows us and he knows our hearts and he knows what he's striving to do, what we're striving to do. And he wants to bless our obedience. Because over and over again in Scripture, I read about the fact that God blesses obedience. Now, we've already talked about to great length the fact that it's not always easy. Remember the umbrella illustration we used last week. You're not exempt from storms. You're still going to get wet, still walk through puddles. That umbrella can get a little wonky. The wind can get rough. It can be hard to hold. But it is an extra layer of just something that God puts over you as you move through life, and you have to make the decision either to stand under it or just tackle the storm yourself. But the Bible says, and we just read it, that the Lord bestows favor and honor. You want to get a little bit warmer? Strive to be obedient. Make a conscious effort to get it right. Don't be afraid to see your life as blessed. I think one of the worst things that followers of Christ do is they kind of skip through life thinking they're lucky. Every lucky person I've ever met, their luck runs out. And when the luck runs out, then you find out what you're going to hold on to and where you've anchored your life. And I'll bet you everybody in this room can go back to a moment where something not so great happened and they had to decide at that moment, are they going to trust and was faith going to carry them through, or are they just cash it in and quit? Because I promise you, there are a lot of people that are not in this room today that when the crisis came, they quit. Or they had nothing to hold on to. And they didn't know what to do. And what happens in the midst of that is we forget the fact that it just gets warmer and warmer the closer we get to God, because we discover that our lives can be so much more than they are when we try to ignore him and we try to live without him. And so you can become even warmer. The third thing I want you to see and the last thing I want you to see is also not only can you warm up, not only can you get even warmer, but then you can start to get hot. Look at the third part of this verse. It says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. See, there's a decision that we make with how we're going to live our lives. And will we choose to live our lives in such a way that we're going to be blessed, or will we make a conscious choice to do less? Matthew 7, verses 9 through 12, Jesus again. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Once you look at the screen, there's a picture that they've got in the back that I wanted to put on the screen for you just a second. That's not that one. That's the one we want. You know what that is? What? Planet Fitness Van?
Yes.
No? Anybody else want to try?
Kindness Car?
Kindness Car?
New Year's Resolution?
For some, it's a New Year's Resolution. I heard the word Kindness Car is written on the back. But you know what they really call it? Blessing Mobile. It's a Blessing Mobile. Because employees at a Planet Fitness in Nome, Alaska are hitting the streets, spreading cheer beyond the holidays. Michelle Ivey and Holly Herring are the gym's Kindness Car ambassadors. They drive the Blessing Mobile. And Planet Fitness has employed them, and their job is simply this. A few times a week, they drive around and they perform good deeds for people they don't know. They put nice notes on windshields. They show up at local schools and they give out goodies. They take care of local law enforcement, local firefighters. They went to the post office right before Christmas. This is their comment. It was a pretty intense place to be. The line the day we stepped in was over 40 people long. See what they did? They went to Subway. They picked up 40 sandwiches. They passed out sandwiches to everybody that was in line that day at the post office. Just to tell them to have a great day, live blessed, and come visit Planet Fitness. On purpose, the Kindness Car was purchased to become a blessing mobile that was to become involved in the community and surprise people with gifts that they don't deserve, that they didn't earn, that are simply given because somebody out there cares. Ivy said this, I get so much more from the response and how receptive people are to us than what we give. It just makes my day. It's an awesome job to have. My job is to bless others. And I thought, that's my job too. That's your job too, by the way. Have you ever thought of your car as a blessing mobile? Why not? It's going to take you to the places you go. It's going to take you and put you in front of the people you're going to meet. It's the mode of transportation you're going to use to get there. You know, really, your car is a blessing mobile. Because for one, you got one. That's a blessing. You can afford to put gas in it. Blessing number two. If you can put gas in it, you've got one, and it runs, that's the third one. And then the places that you go and the people that you'll meet are people that you've been called by God to touch and change the world with His love. See, the blessing of God takes what are our mundane skills and turns them into mad skills. S-K-I-L-L-Z. He takes what you can do and do so much more. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way. If it falls to you to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, that person is a great street sweeper who swept his job well and blessed others. Why do you do what you do? What is it that drives your life? Are you somebody that punches a clock who also calls yourself a follower of Christ? Are you a follower of Christ who gets to punch a clock for the glory of God? It's not splitting hairs. It's the difference between living a blessed life and getting hot or living a life where you're just doing your time and getting a little colder all the time. And that's your choice. Because the psalm reminds us that he is our sun, he is our shield. He'll bestow glory and honor on us. He doesn't hold anything back. In other words, God has gone all in for you. Will you go all in for him? Because when that happens, he becomes your X factor. Now, at Christmas time, people get nervous, you know, when they see Xmas. And we just kind of came through that season. They get all wonky about that. And someone will say, we're taking Christ out of Christmas. You put an X. It's not. It's actually a Greek symbol for Christ, X. So don't ever say that. Okay? Some people might be trying to take Christ out of Christmas, but the Xmas is actually an abbreviation that Christians started. I want you to know, I never had a seminary professor that wrote out Jesus' name. It was always the symbol. As they would lecture on the board, they just put symbol up and go. Now, the first time I went in, because I came from my little Baptist background and thought, well, Jesus didn't sign his name with an X. And, you know, my Greek professor said, no, idiot. If you would pass my class, you would know that this is actually a Greek symbol, and it stands for Jesus. I guess I'll be taking this course again. And so then I got it. He is your X factor. Believe it or not, in the Oxford Dictionary, they defined X factor as a variable in every situation that could have the most significant impact on the outcome. That's Jesus in my life. How about yours? I mean, he's the factor that impacts every outcome. He's the one that makes it work. And when I stay close to him and when I live hot for him, then all of a sudden things become different. We said it again. We said it earlier. We'll say it again. If you make the choice to be obedient, you're making the choice to be hot. If you choose to be disobedient, you're making the choice to be cold. But hear me, God wants to bless you. We discover as we read his word that you are the apple of God's eye. You are the object. You are the object of his affection. In Job, we see how he worked with Job. He's bragging about you behind your back. In Romans, he's interceding for you. In Psalms, his goodness and mercy is tracking you, hunting you. We've discovered in this series. In Exodus, his faithfulness is unfailing. In Jeremiah, his kindness is unrelenting. In Zephaniah, he is rejoicing over you with singing. He sings over you. That's how God feels about you. And that's a God that you can only discover when you make the choice to be obedient and live hot for him. And when we heat it up and we get hot, we discover that at Bethlehem, he is God with us. At Calvary, he is God for us. And at Pentecost, he is God in us. You remember how we defined blessing, right? God with us, God for us, God in us. He did everything that he could do to show you how you could live your life differently and how he was going to relate to you. The decision that we have to make is whether we are going to live that way or not. Because God is with us means that we can get through anything. When God is for us, we can overcome anything that comes along. If God is in us, we are never alone and nothing can stop us because nothing is impossible for him. That is the blessing of God. Hallelujah! If that doesn't excite you about who Jesus is and what he's called you to be, you need someone to put a fire under your backside. Because there's no better news that you're ever going to get. You are called to live a blessed life. Don't waste it. You're called to live a blessed life. Share it. You're called to be obedient and bless others. Bless them. That's who you're supposed to be. And if you're anything less, then you're missing out. And you're living cold. And you'll never discover. Never discover what it is that God has for you and how he wants to use you. Here's now what. We've been specific. We've been telling you to take this and walk out the door with what you're hearing and apply it to your life. And then now what? Ask and pray and ask God to remind you how you're blessed, to show you how you're blessed and how you're going to live differently. So here's the challenge now. You make the decision. Go back to the illustration we've used over and over again. You fill in the gap. God, I want to be a Christ follower who does this because I'm a follower. In other words, where are you going to go to work tomorrow? What are you going to do? Say, God, I want to be a Christ follower who gets to, you fill in the gap. In other words, see your life as a ministry. See your life as a mission. See your life as mattering. See what you do as being an extension of the call of God in your life so that you can bless others. And when you do that, not only will their world change, but your world will change. You will bless. They will bless. You'll discover that God is doing everything that He said He would do. And you will live life hotter than it's ever been for the glory of God. Would you bow your heads and hearts and let's pray. Hallelujah. God, you're good. And God, we are reminded as we move through this time of year that you are with us and you're for us and you're in us. And so that changes everything. So Lord, today there are some who will see this, hear this, download, watch it later, and they've never made the decision to get serious about you, and we talked about it earlier. They've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. Because of that, your blessing sounds like a really great thing, but it's something that will always be elusive because they don't even know how to get it. So I pray that this would be a day of decision, a choice, the first choice and the best choice to living the life they were created to live. Heavenly Father, I pray that even now they would take a moment and just talk with you. Tell you they believe. Make the decision to trust. And most importantly, make the decision to follow. And Lord, I ask that you would just compel them to stop whatever they're doing right now and fire us an email. Before they leave this morning, fill out a response page on our worship flyer. And let us know that that's the decision they want to make. That's who they want to be. Lord, for others in this room, we enjoy your blessings. We like your blessings. We love it when you bless us. But help us never forget why you do it and that we're blessed to bless others. As God, this day, help us to take a real close look at what we do and why. Help us to make that choice to live our lives differently. Realign our priorities. Help us to look for ways that we can minister to those that we meet, love those that we meet, bless those that we meet, and help us together as we look to find ways that we, as a body of believers, an outpost, that we can do that most effectively. That we would touch and change the world with your love. That's our prayer and our hope. On a Sunday morning where we've been blessed in ways beyond anything that we could dare imagine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.